the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Godhead. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. In this verse, the words Kritavan Gani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yare de Katare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Om Abhyanjana
Yamananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Kaijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanuthile Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadaya Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
wasn't until about 10 years later that I went to Delhi yearning to see this poem from Krishna. He was a different Krishna. He was also supremely beautiful. But still, the way of Krishna affects us. So, there is the Krishna that's not there. And then sometime later, I came to a popular Lake of Leonard. Understood that this Krishna was at the Pandava program in Delhi. So it was Krishna from Delhi, but he came from Vrindavan to Vrindavan to Jaipur to Delhi and then to Bhaktivedanta. And I remember in 1976. He was one of the first devotees in Europe to come to Krishna consciousness. He was at Mundana, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, "You have always said that Radha Gopulananda are the most beautiful deities in the world." Kulashekhar said, "But I'm thinking now that I'm living here at Radha Vrindavan Chandra, the most beautiful. Can you tell me what you think?" Krishna appeared in this world approximately 5,000 years ago in his personal transcendental form of Sri Sri Radha Gopulananda. He appeared in the London area 39 years ago. Krishna tells in Gita, "Janaka Paramachami Dita. The one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities when he descends into this world, that person, by Krishna's grace, never gains birth within this material creation. Krishna says that devotee will attain my abode." In the Gita, Krishna tells the reasons why he descends. Adhidhanaya sadhinam vinashaya chatu sakritam dharma samstak panadhaya sambhavami jukhe jukhe. The Lord descends to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna can perform those activities through the doings of material nature. His controlling nature, through his empowered devotees, through his expansions. But Krishna especially comes to this world in his original transcendental form, once in a day. So the daytime of Brahma is over 3 billion years. And then there's the night. That actually for their lives. So it's about once every 8 billion years that Krishna personally appears in his original transcendental form. And at that time, the Lord appears to Prabhupada's friends, especially to perform such beautiful pastimes, to reveal the intimacy of the love between Krishna and his devotees, to reveal his transcendental form in such ways to attract lives. Krishna is all attractive. Lord Chaitanya has taught us that love for Krishna is within the heart of every living being. It is our dormant nature. It is simply being forgotten. And Krishna performs such beautiful pastimes, his birth, his activities, his devotees. Krishna is not different than the transcendental sound vibration of these pastimes. Nama Chintamani Krishna is Chaitanya Vasudeva. Krishna is one and the same with Krishna's name, with Krishna's form, with Krishna's pastimes, with Krishna's teaching. And simply by hearing, we are actually in association with Krishna and the devotees of Krishna. There was a story in 1966 where Srila Prabhupada took the devotees from 26th Avenue to the Ananda Ashram. And there, I was giving classes, leading kirtans, and at night, I agree with one of the very early disciples of Srila Prabhupada. He was sleeping in a field. This is a beautiful countryside. And he had a dream. And he told Srila Prabhupada the next morning, with great excitement, what this dream was. He said, I saw Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in Kurukshetra. And then the dream changed, and I saw you instructing me. And Srila Prabhupada, and he said, and the realization I got in this dream that there was no difference in the knowledge in you speaking to me and Krishna speaking to Arjuna. And Srila Prabhupada smiled and said, that was correct. Very good dream. Of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't say that they were Krishna and Arjuna. But he explained that that message, whenever it is repeated and heard, the same effect is there because it is transcendental sound vibration. When this message of Krishna's teachings and Krishna's pastimes are spoken without speculation or adulteration through parampara, it is Krishna speaking. There was another famous story where Srila Prabhupada was reading the Krishna book. And the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, do you like to read your own books? And Srila Prabhupada said, I did not write this Krishna book. It's Krishna's words. So as we advance in Krishna consciousness, this is the experience we have. When we chant the holy names, we feel, we know, we realize that we are directly in the association of Krishna. When we hear Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, or when we hear the beautiful stories of Krishna with his devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, we realize we are part of the pastime. We are there. We are on the chariot with Arjuna, hearing Krishna speak directly. When we see the beautiful form of Krishna in Srimadhika in the temple, we can realize who have appeared to attract our hearts. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how there are two types of Krishna Bhajan. Those words spoken by Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita, and those words spoken about Krishna, like that of Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. In both cases, we connect with Krishna. The setting of how this narration takes place in Srila Prabhupada is most instructive. Similar to Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he was in a very serious crisis in his life. It's not that he just happily went to the Gita and said, Krishna doesn't speak. On the chariot, Krishna was silent. Arjuna saw on both sides of him, relatives. And being a devotee of the Lord, he felt such affection for all of them. There were teachers on both sides who he owed everything he had to. All of a sudden, it was impossible for him to fight. And he began to reason in so many ways why this fight should not happen. And if it does, he would not dismayed. And then he was struggling, what is my power? And eventually, he was in such distress and confusion in the face of this very, very crucial historical battle. Please try to put yourself in his chariot seat for a moment. He was torn. He was about to use all of his God-given strength to devastate the opposing army. And he felt alone for that. The ball fell from his hands. He was weeping. He lost all his composure. He didn't know who he was or what he was supposed to do or what not to do. And then he prayed to Krishna. I'm your disciple. Please instruct. And then Krishna smiled. And here we find an issue of Bhagavatam Parikshit Maharaj. He was cursed to die in 7 days. He was the emperor of the entire world with such power. And how humbling this is. It was a little boy, just a tiny little boy, who cursed me. He left his family, his kingdom, his power, his comforts. He vowed to fast till death just to hear about Krishna. And he went to the river Ganga, a place called Shukadama. Still today, it's a beautiful banyan tree. Said, Parikshit sat, and all great sages and rishis came from all over the world and the universe to be with him because they could consider this to be so exalted. And they were discussing among themselves who would speak. Yasuke was there. Narayana was there. Parvati, Narayana, Akhilini, Vishwamitra, Vashishtha. Each and every one of them, powerful, historical, incredible, enlightened beings, Gautama Muni, so many others. Who is going to speak? Many of them were so old, they were from Ram Lila before. Shishkumuni was gone. The Guru, as was Vishwamitra. And that little 16-year-old Sukadeva Goswami comes into the forest. So it's very interesting. But that's another story. Shukadeva Goswami, he was so detached from everything of this world. Although he was enlightened, he pretended to be a fool. He hardly spoke to anyone. He didn't wear clothes. So wherever he went, people ridiculed him. And sometimes even children. Foolish children would laugh at him, would throw things at him, chastise him, threaten him. He would just accept it very happily. And then he came by Krishna's will from his heart. He came to that place of the bank of the Ganga. And everyone stood up. In the beginning, in the first canto, second canto, we read how Parikshit Maharaj inquires from Shukadeva Goswami, what is the main, most important occupation for all living beings? So many scriptures and so many spiritual teachers and so many religious forms. What is the essence? And what is the primary duty of a person who is about to die? Just outside this tent is the Pandava Sena's presentation this year. Is it called? True Narayana. And when you go inside and see the presentation, I just saw the props that they're using. And you will have a good experience that death could come to anyone at any moment. you'll see a man regular, just like any other day, enjoying breakfast. And the car runs off the road and crashes through the house, into the kitchen, and kills the man. Now we may say that's hard to say. But the reality is, things like that happen thousands and thousands of times every day in this world. This is a world where there is danger at every step for everyone. Whether you're a simple farmer or an industrialist billionaire, whether you're a sadhu living in a forest, or whether you're a PhD professor at a university, whether you're from the east or west, from any race, male, female, devotee, not devotee, the reality is the nature of this world. Is there this danger at every step? And knowing this is a great impetus to serious intention toward Krishna. Guru Prabhupada tells us that Pariksit Maharaj knew for sure that he had 7 days to live. 7 days isn't that much. Just think about what he did a week ago. It seems like a miracle. That's all he had. But he considered it a blessing to utilize that 7 days for the highest purpose of life. Srila Prabhupada explains that none of us know for sure that we have 7 minutes to live. So it is important. In order to really access and experience Krishna in Krishna's name, in Krishna Katha, we must take shelter. As we approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. If we hear about Krishna kind of in a sneaking way, God, I wish you just do something else. And Krishna will minimally reveal himself to you. We're very, very serious. We take it as a topmost priority of urgency to hear this message, to take shelter of Krishna as he is coming in Krishna Katha, and Krishna will very quickly purify our hearts and reveal ourselves, reveal ourselves to us. Pariksit Maharaj asked these questions, Sukadeva Goswami was very happy. He said, these questions are not only the highest subject matter, but they are for the ultimate benefit for all humanity. And he congratulated Pariksit Maharaj. He thanked him. And he spoke 9 cantos just to prepare the ultimate crescendo of all literatures, the 10th canto. And here, at the beginning, we find Pariksit Maharaj is specifically asking about Krishna's descent. Please. Original form of God. Previously, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, it is described all these different major incarnations of the Lord who appear within the world throughout history. Eighth eternal child, ancient, Krishna's true form. which is the original source, the personality of Godhead, from whom all other avatars are emanating, who possesses all six opulences of strength, beauty, knowledge, fame, wealth, and renunciation to its ultimate fullest degree. In other incarnations and avatars, although they are absolutely one and the same as Krishna, Krishna is only manifesting partial opulences. But when he comes in his original form, he reveals all of these opulences in their full unlimited degrees. Please explain to me about Krishna's appearance in this world and his wonderful activities. Parikshit Maharaj had experience that Arjuna, Yudhisthira, my grandfathers, on that great battlefield of Kurukshetra, although there were such powerful warriors like Bhishma and Drona, they were like little fish in an ocean full of whales and sharks. But because they took shelter of Krishna, they all, Krishna's grace, they overcame all obstacles. And my own mother, I was in her room when Ashwatthama sent that deadly Brahmastra weapon. Brahmastra weapon is a nuclear bomb and beyond. But it had such precision, it could hit its target and not harm anything else. So he sent this Brahmastra thousands of times more powerful and destructive than the atom bomb of Hiroshima and sent it right to the embryo in the womb of Uttara. And you were praying for a child. And as the Brahmastra came into the womb, the richer he was in the womb, saw it. And then he saw beautiful form of Krishna appear and annihilate all the dangers of the world. Please tell me about Krishna. I'm yearning to hear about Krishna. From your description so far, even though I have been for so many days not eating any food or drinking any water, getting any sleep, neither am I tired. And the nectar flowing from your mouth, like the ambrosial ganga, is completely satisfying my heart. And I'm feeling no obstacle due to hunger or thirst. desperation. Because there was so much demoniac activities going on all around her. We understand that Mother Earth is brutal. She's an expansion of the goddess of friction. Krishna's internal potency that manifests within this material world. Bhumi is the consort of Varaha Dev, an avatar of Lord Krishna. Bhumi Devi was in such a state because Kamsa and Salva and Jarasandha and Aga and all these very, very powerful mystic asuras were exploiting and plundering all of her resources for their own envious purposes and cruelly mistreating the common people. She came in the form of a calm before Lord. Every spirit soul, wherever there's life, there is the Atma. And every Atma is part and parcel of Krishna. So, all on the side of the meditation, the key to Krishna says, I'm not envious of anyone, I'm equal to all. Because everyone is Krishna's devotee, ultimately. Due to our free will, we have this tendency to turn away from Krishna, to try to be the proprietor, the controller, and the enjoyer of the resources of material existence. And when we fall into that trap of Maya, of the illusory energy, then our tendency is to become overcome with lust, anger, envy, greed, arrogance, and illusion. Become polluted. But the cow is especially dear to Krishna because the cow provides milk and so many wonderful, wonderful objects that could be used in Krishna's devotional service. So Mother Earth appeared and was weeping and explained her plight to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, he went in that Lord Shiva and Indra and all these other great devas. And they together went to the shore of the ocean of will, where Lord Vishnu resides within the universe, the Garbhodakshini Vishnu. Or is it Shirodakshini? It's Shirodakshini Vishnu. And they offer the Purusha Shuddha prayers, especially Vedic hymns to invoke the Lord. Descent into this world. Brahma was sitting intensely focused in meditation when Krishna spoke from his heart. And Brahma shared with the other demigods the message of the Lord. He said, even before you came, I already knew everything that was happening. Already decided to descend into the world. Now all of you gods along with your wives, the goddesses, take your birth in the Adi Yandaka Christian Volta dynasties. And I will personally appear as the son of David the Ambassador in the Adi dynasty. You go and prepare for my coming. After reviewing this message, Brahma went back to his abode. Sometime later, Shukadev Goswami explains Vasudev, the son of Surasena. Surasena was the king of Mathura. He had to establish Mathura as the capital of the Adi dynasty. Vasudev married Devaki, the daughter of Devaka. It was a beautiful marriage. Everyone in Mathura area was so happy. And then, when it was time, after the marriage was complete, for Vasudev to take Devaki back to his home, he boarded his chariot. It was surrounded by about 100 other chariots. King Devaka, out of love for his daughter, he gave hundreds of elephants, thousands of horses, hundreds of chariots, hundreds of young ladies who were Devaki's dearest friends, all to go with her, so she wouldn't miss home. People were singing songs, playing instruments, showering flowers, dancing. Brahmins were chanting mantras and hymns. It was a jubilant time. Marriages are wonderful festivities. And Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, the cousin brother of Devaki, was so taken by the whole experience, he wanted to make his sister so happy. So even though he was the prince, very, very powerful, he got on the chariot and took the reins. Just to make his sister happy, he agreed to take her home. What an honor this was. At least that's what everyone thought. As Kamsa was moving the chariot forward, his heart swelling with affection for his sister, an invisible voice came from the sky.
Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of Devaki will be the cause of your death.
Kamsa let go of the reins of the horses. With his left hand, he grabbed the hair of Devaki and pulled her up. With his right hand, he drew his mighty sword, was about to sever. Change from overwhelming affection to total hatred and fear. This is an example of how material attachment can affect a person's heart. For there to be real love, unconditional love, it's important that there be true detachment from egoism and selfishness. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made his beautiful prayers. Lord Chaitanya came to teach pure love for Krishna by teaching knowledge, detachment, and bhakti. Process of devotion and service. dwells in the form of love in this world is so often kind or selfish passion. But when that selfish passion somehow or other turns into something that we perceive against the interest of our attachments, it can easily turn into wrath. Counseling is about to, in the most ghastly way, murder his own sister. Vasudev, with folded hands, tried to come between them and speak his philosophy to Kamsa. There are so many pages in Srimad Bhagavatam of this philosophy. He was explaining to him the basic principles of spirituality. We're not this body. We are the eternal souls. We should not behave in such a way in this world that compromises the progress of the soul. After all, we may get some temporary safety or pleasure if we engage in sinful activities, but ultimately that sinful activities in the form of bad karma are going to come back and cause the greatest harm to us. We should do what's of the interest of the soul. That is karma. It's like a little worm goes from leaf to leaf on a tree. So similarly, the soul goes from body to body to body to body. We shouldn't be so attached to the body and the things of the body. We should use the body for the purpose of the soul. He explains so many social, philosophical, logical reasons why this is a terrible thing to do. But Kamsa was being consumed by the flames of his envy, his fear, and his attachments. He was not moved by any of it. So Vasudev began to think. Somehow or other, I have to stop this. So he said to Kamsa, "You have no fear of your sister. It's the eighth child of your sister. I vow to you on this day that every child born of Devaki I will bring to you. And you can do anything you like with it." Vasudev had such a character that Kamsa totally believed him. Vasudev, under no circumstance, would ever succumb to not living by truth. He gives his word, that is fine. So come, so let him go. Vasudev and Devaki. They went on their way. But Vasudev didn't trust Kamsa. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam says it's very difficult to control someone who cannot control the mind or senses. And then Narada Muni appeared on the scene. So Prabhupada quotes his verse, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vikina Bhujana. It's very difficult to understand the mind of a great Vaishnava. Narada Muni especially fits in this description at this time. Kamsa saw Narada Muni. It's understood if you get the blessing of saints, you get power. So he offered Narada Muni a nice seat. He worshipped Narada Muni. He said, "How can I serve you?" And Narada Muni, he said, "I just want to inform you something, Kamsa. Just recently, I was traveling around the universe, and I came to the Sumeru Parvat. And there I heard Brahma having a meeting with the devas. Now please remember, Kamsa, the devas are your enemies. And they were making plans to kill you and all of your asuras. in your previous birth, your name was Kalanemi. And at that time, Vishnu came to you. And now he's coming again to kill you. So I just wanted to tell you this. And you know, any child that's born here could be a demigod or Vishnu. And now I'll be on my way. Whenever we left, Kamsa talked to some of his ministers and decided to imprison Vasudeva and David. He put his brother and sister in shackles in a prison house. Actually, what happened? I have to go back a little. The first child was born, that's right, when they were free. And Vasudev came with the first child, Kirtiman, and presented it to Kamsa. Kamsa, he couldn't believe he's bringing his child to me. You're so honest, take him back. I'm only worried about the eighth child. That's when I really came. So Kamsa completely changed, and he took that little child and killed it, and put Vasudev and Devaki. Six children were born right in front of her eyes. Davis, do you see her? Comes her slide down. And then sent her from Mathura to Gokul to be protected by his cousin, brother, and dear most friend, Nanda Maharaj. There she became the very deepest, best friend of Yashoda Mahi, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. She was pregnant when she left for Gokul. During her seventh month of pregnancy, at midnight, she had a dream. In the dream, she had a miscarriage. She woke up, and she realized that it was true. She felt extremely sorrowful. Then Yogamaya spoke to her, said, "This is all the will of our Lord. Actually, I'm transferring Shankarshan from the womb of Devaki into your womb." Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. Meanwhile, in Mathura, everyone thought that they indeed had a miscarriage. And soon after, Krishna entered into the mind or the heart of Vasudeva. Vasudeva became transcendental, effulgent in the presence of and filled him with bliss. Krishna was actually personally in his heart. And then Krishna transferred. The example is given just like when the sun is setting, it transfers its light to the moon. Krishna was transferred from the heart of Vasudeva to the mind and the heart of Devaki. Devaki became so filled with endless joy. She was so effulgent with spiritual energy. Nobody could appreciate it because she was in a dark prison cell. When Kamsa saw the effulgence and the blissfulness of Devaki, he realized that Vishnu, the child who was going to kill me, has now come. He kept Vasudeva and Devaki in such tight security. His only meditation was waiting for that child to be born so he would immediately kill it. Kamsa was overwhelmed with fear. He couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. Whether he was sitting on his throne, laying in his bed, walking, eating, his mind was plagued with fear. He was Krishna conscious, constantly thinking of Krishna. Rupa Goswami tells us we should think of Krishna in a favorable way, that is devotional service. So in this way, Kamsa could not sleep. He had no peace of mind. He was just waiting and waiting. And then that most auspicious moment came. John Master. Before I describe Krishna's appearance, let me explain a little of why Narada Muni acted like he did. He wanted to activate Krishna's coming, and he also knew a secret from the past. There's a great sage named Manichi, and he had six sons. And his six sons, they committed a serious Vaishnava apparat. He criticized Brahma, because Brahma was acting strange by their perception, and by many others too, actually. And because of this, they had to come to the world to be born of demons. They were born as the six children of Kalanemi and the grandchildren. And when they grew up, they went to perform tapasya to Lord Brahma. And they did it very well. And Lord Brahma came and asked, what benedictions do you want? And they asked for the common benedictions that asuras ask, that nobody can defeat me, nobody can kill me, that I will live and I will enjoy and I will conquer and I will such a controller mentality. said, curse that your father today got a baby in the next birth. I kill you. Kalanami became Kamsa. And the Saptaragas, these six children, they represent the six anartas within our heart that distract us away from our eternal natural condition of loving devotion to Krishna. Lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. These are the six enemies within. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the only real enemies we have are these six enemies within our own minds. If you can conquer those, so these six children represents these six internal enemies within us. Devaki represents pure bhakti. And Kamsa represents fear of material existence. When a devotee of Devaki takes shelter of the Lord, understanding the dangers of material existence, that taking of shelter under those, with that sense of urgency, Om Pavitra Pavitra Va, Krishna cleanses, removes the lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. And then Baladev, the spiritual master, creates an environment in the heart by which we can directly personally experience Krishna. Narada Muni understood that these Sagargas, they wanted to go back to their fathers. He was doing exactly what their internal souls wanted. He was liberating them, showing the highest compassion to them, and accelerating Krishna's descent to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls. It was on this day that John lost at midnight. Everything became auspicious. All trees were blossoming with fruits, flowers of every variety. The breezes all over the universe were fragrant with the aromas. The temperature was just so nice everywhere. The rivers, the oceans, transpiring, clean, blooming with flowers. The stars in the sky, they seemed to be like they were dancing, glittering, illuminating the heavens. And all the Brahmins and the devotees who were being severely persecuted by Kamsa felt such peace and such optimism in their hearts. It was at that moment that Krishna manifested himself from the heart of Vasudeva to stand right before, from the heart of Devaki to stand right before his mother and father. He came with four arms, holding the conch shell, the lotus flower, club, and the Sudarshan disc. He had a wonderful complexion, like a dark monsoon cloud.
him in is the essence of beauty. His eyes were like lotus flowers. His beautiful blackish hair was curled around his face. He wore the special jewel, the jewel of the shoe. He had long garlands and beautiful golden, silver, and jewel ornamented ornaments around his body. He wore a cloth around his waist that was golden, like flashing lightning. And he illuminated the dark prison. Also, David, he understood that the supreme absolute truth, the personality of God, and the cause of all causes, the source of everything, had appeared as their son. And also, David offered beautiful prayers of gratitude and devotion. And in David's prayers, although she understood his supreme position, she felt herself to be his mother. And she had the worry and concern of a mother. And now you're appearing in this form, come so we know for sure that God is you, and he may harm you. So please, make this form invisible. Appear like an ordinary child so you can hide yourself. Krishna spoke to him. He said, in your previous life, you were Krishna and Sutama. And you performed very, very long years of austerities. You went into the jungles and you were subjected to bitter cold, to burning heat, to winds, to rain. You were fixed on your meditation and your sacred bed. You were only eating the dry leaves that fell from trees. And when you were offered a benediction, you wanted me to be your child. So I fulfilled that ambition. And in that very birth, I became your son, Krishnagarbha. And then, in your next birth, you became Aditi and Kashyapa. And I became your son, Upendra, because I was a dwarf, they call me Vamanadeva. And now I am appearing again as your son. I will take the form of a little child. And on this very night, Vasudev, you should carry me across the Yamuna to Gokul and exchange me for the child of Krishna. And then right before your eyes, the beautiful, majestic form of Vishnu manifested the beautiful little baby form of Gopal. What a sacrifice of Vasudeva did. Just to facilitate Krishna's coming to this world, they endured years of living in a prison. Just to facilitate the eighth child appearing, they endured seeing six of their children killed or suicide. And now the child had come. And within minutes, he was going to be taken somewhere else. So I'm sitting there holding Toshin. Their devotion, their love was so pure, they only wanted to please Krishna. So Vasudeva, suddenly by the power of Yoga Maya, his shackles became unlocked. And the doors, all the doors of the prison house,
guard station after another, there was no impediment. And then when he finally came to the outdoors, it was a cloudy midnight, and it was raining. But on Mount Ashesha, he appeared over the head of us, Dave, to serve as an umbrella. And then he came to the river Yamuna, and because of the storm that night, the river Yamuna was swirling and rippling with a very fast current. But Yamuna Devi became very calm and offered a passageway for Vasudeva to cross over. He came to the maternity home of Yashoda. Yashoda Mai gave birth to Yogamaya, and she fell asleep. And she really, by Yogamaya's own potency, she didn't really remember what she did. And while she slept, Vasudeva placed Krishna inside and took Yogamaya, the daughter, away. Now, in this particular passage of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Prabhupada reveals to us the words of the Holy Scriptures, Jiva Goswami's Gopal Chandra, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's discoveries of the great literatures. And actually, Krishna simultaneously took birth as the son of Nanda and Yashoda and the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna merged into the form of Nanda and Yashoda. Crossed over the Yamuna again, came into the prison cell, all of a sudden everything locked. He put his chains back on, and the little baby girl, Yogamaya, cried. She cried really loud. Because all the guards woke up, they immediately told Kamsa, "The child is born." Kamsa did not waste any moment. Kamsa took his weapons and ran to the place. He was there within seconds. David was holding this little beautiful daughter. She's pleading with Kamsa, "Please, let me have this one child. You have nothing to fear from a daughter. It's a girl. You've already killed six of my children. Just off, I'm your sister. Offer me this one gift. Let me have this daughter to love and to care for as a mother." She was weeping, crying, pleading. Kamsa was so hard-hearted and cruel that he forcibly grabbed the little baby out of the hands of the mother, took her by the feet, lifted her up, about to dash her to death on a rock. But as he lifted her up before crashing her down, the little baby slipped out of his hands and went into the sky and manifested the form of Durga. Riding on a lion, she had eight arms holding various weapons. But she looked down at Kamsa, very angry, and said, "Kamsa, you are a cruel fool. The child that was meant to kill you, the child that will kill you, is already born and is somewhere else. Now stop killing people and leave and show mercy to your brother and sister." And she disappeared. That was quite sobering for Kamsa. He realized what he had been doing for the first time. travel between a Vasudev and Devaki and beg forgiveness. But it wasn't an unconditional forgiveness. It was one of those philosophical forgivenesses. He said, I have acted very enviously, I have acted cruelly, I have acted selfishly, I have acted so egoistically, I've killed your own children. Please forgive me. But also please understand that everything's happening because of karma. And actions and reactions, that somehow or other, you know, this is what you were meant to go through. That was the instrument. And Vasudeva Devaki, even after all they had been through, practically 10 years of prison and slaughter their children and being abused and harassed in so many ways. From their heart of hearts, they totally forgave Kamsa and spoke sweet words to him. They said, yes, what you're saying is true. We forgive you. And then he let them go. Kamsa went home, and the next morning, he called his ministers and told him everything that happened. And his ministers, they were afraid. Because their power was very much dependent on Kamsa. They told Kamsa, why are you afraid of all this? We know who you are. We know your powers. You have nothing to fear. The reality is that Vishnu is our enemy, and he is born somewhere. Therefore, we should kill every single child, male and female, that has been born in your kingdom for the last 10 days. And because religion is a weapon of Vishnu, and because the Brahmins and sacrifices and yajnas connect a person to Vishnu, we must persecute everything that's good. Anyone who engages in piety, anyone who engages in any type of religious activities, and all the cows, they must be killed, tortured, persecuted. Kamsa said, yes, that is my order. Thank you. place, Krishna's appearance. Immediately, he became more dear to them than their own children or their own lives. They just wanted him to be happy. They didn't know he was God. They just thought he was a beautiful, wonderful child who they loved more than anything. They were all great devotees of God, but they loved Krishna more than they loved God. Their conception of God. They simply fell in love with this tree. And they were blessing Krishna to have a long life. The Brahmins were chanting mantras, and they offered Krishna a little abhishek. They took to him, they took him. They bathed him with the panchakavya, the panchamrita. As they were having kirtans, these were instruments, horn instruments, string instruments, wind instruments. They were all dancing and dancing and dancing. And when you love Krishna, the natural expression of that love for Krishna is we love each other. They were very lovingly, gracefully throwing and spewing upon each other ghee and butter and condensed milk and different types of fresh herb powders as they were dancing, singing, and crying in ecstasy. Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj, he was so overcome with ecstasy and inviting the express of ecstasy through seva. He wanted to show his gratitude in so many ways. He was giving millions of cows to Brahmins. And each cow had silk garments embroidered. And he put gold and jewels on the hooves and silver on the horns and the hooves of the cows. And then seven gigantic mountains of grains, and he put silks and jewels decorating the grains. It was a festival of giving, not a festival of taking. On a spiritual level, we show our joy, we show our gratitude. Krishna's pleasure we give to Krishna's devotees. They danced, they sang, and they all looked at beautiful Krishna and prayed for Krishna and blessed Krishna for the whole day. It was on that most joyous, auspicious auspicious day of the celebration of Krishna's appearance in 1896. The first of the Asuras that comes to Saint appeared. Her name was Uttanara. She was, I believe it's pronounced Kichini Witch. She had mystical powers. She could change her form to any size and any shape she wanted. And her special passion was to eat the flesh of newborn babies and drink the blood. She was a Rakshasi. And she had already been traveling all around the area. Thousands of children she was murdering. Then she came to the house of Nanda Yashoda in Gokul. And she changed her form to become so beautiful, like a goddess of fortune. When she came to Nanda Maharaj's house, everyone was very much impressed and grateful. This must be some sort of goddess that has come to bless Krishna. So they let her pass right into the house. They let her pick up Krishna, sit down, put him in her lap, and then she went to give him the milk from her own breast. And everyone was watching, thinking she was going to bless Krishna. They didn't know that she had already smeared her breast with deadly poison. Krishna looked at her and closed his eyes. When she put her breast in Krishna's mouth, Krishna sobbed. At first, sucked milk. Because somehow or other she had some maternal affection for Krishna at that point. And then he sucked out all the poison sucking out all the poison. He kept sucking and sucking and sucking until he was sucking her very life. This was extremely painful for Putin. She was trying to somehow push Krishna off her, but she couldn't. So she ran outside into the pasture ground. And she manifested an enormous form. She was screaming out, "Child, leave me, leave me, leave me." And here she was, a massive form, and Krishna was just a little tiny thing on her, a little person on her, and she was with all of her strength, her mighty arms, trying to take her off. And he was squeezing with his little tiny fingers. He was about to. And it was causing her such unbearable pain. And with his little tiny feet, he was kicking her. And he kept sucking until he sucked her life out. And she fell to the ground. And she broke hundreds and hundreds of trees as she fell to the ground. Now, by Krishna's inconceivable potency, Putana ran into one of the fake gardens of Kamsa, and that's what she destroyed when she fell down. And meanwhile, Yashoda Maya and all the gopis and gopis, they were frantic. Krishna was taken away. And they ran and they climbed up Putana's body, and they saw the gopis, a helpless little baby crawling around and smiling. And they picked him up and brought him to Yashoda Maya, and she embraced him and had the Brahmins do all kinds of pujas to protect him. Putana represents the pseudo guru who appears in a way that they're going to nourish us with transcendental knowledge. But because of misconception, envy or speculation, that knowledge has that poison in it that can kill our propensity for love of Krishna. When we take shelter of Krishna, it frees us from this obstacle path of pure love and devotion to Shambhavananda. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj is returning home, and on the way he sees Putana. She was miles gone. What is this? And the devotees told Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj was thinking, Vasudev knew. He understood. He warned me. So they chopped her body up, and they burned it. Body, when it was burning, it smelled like nectar. It had the aroma like camphor and cinnamon, like an aroma. Because when Krishna touched her, he completely purified her. And not only did he completely purify her, but because she approached Krishna like a mother, even though she had evil propensities, when Krishna sucked out the poison, he sucked out all her evil propensities. And all that was left in Putana at the moment of death was her offering motherly love to Krishna. Putana immediately attained the liberation of being a mother of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, in this spiritual world. An assistant nurse, where she would enjoy Krishna's loving, all attractive pastimes for the rest of eternity. Many years later, Uddhava, in separation from Krishna, he was remembering this pastime. Who else can I worship? Who else is so merciful, so compassionate, that this Rakshashi sister of Agha and Baka who came to kill Krishna in the most merciless, cruel way. Krishna accepted her and gave the ultimate perfection of being his eternal lover in this spiritual world. Krishna and Balaram were only about 15 days apart. Rohini and Yashoda were almost always together taking care of their little babies. And sometimes they were holding their little babies and they'd look at their faces, hearts melting in expect. It's little teeth growing, they curls in their teeth, they discuss with each other. This was all they talked about on Vrindavan. Can you imagine? Everybody. Little tooth is coming out of Krishna's mouth. Little tooth is being coming out. That was the news. It's been everywhere. Everyone was in ecstasy. Any little thing connected to Krishna is all attractive to a devotee. When Krishna was just a few months old, he just started to slant his body, which means very soon he was about to begin to crawl. So he showed him my Nandamaraja. Beautiful festival to celebrate this. One of the samskaras. And as we showed, Mahi was greeting all the guests, and there was mantras being chanted, and hymns, and there was yajnas, and there was kirtans, and there was songs and dancing, all to celebrate that Krishna is soon going to begin to grow. As Mahi saw that Krishna was very tired, so she put him in a little cot under a hand cart. And she went about greeting all the guests and everything else. And what she did really is another associate of Kamsa, who is a ghostly being, actually entered into that cart. And his purpose to fall on Krishna and crush him to death. Gopal knew that. He called for his mother, and his mother wasn't there. So with his little tiny lotus foot, he kicked the wheel of the cart. The wheel broke off from the axle, the whole cart went crashing down, and all the pots and everything on the cart all came tumbling down, and Shakadashura was there. Meanwhile, the people of Vrindavan heard this tumultuous sound and they came running, and they're surrounded everywhere. This is heavy metal pots, wood, axles, wheels, and in the middle of it was baby Krishna, so soft, appearing so helpless. How is it that he was gone? What happened? Some of the little children said to Nanda and Yashoda, we saw Gopal cry for his mother didn't come, and he kicked, and the whole cart fell down. They were thinking, how is this possible? Children say anything. They couldn't conceive Krishna as anything but their beautiful little baby. Sakatasura represents an obstacle to pure devotional service in Vrindavan. The obstacle of the tendency to keep the burden within our heart of our previous bad habits. The bad habits both earlier in this life as well as previous lives. Things that we should be letting go, letting go of for the purpose of focusing our full attention and attachment to Krishna. We cling to past habits are not easy to grab. According to this Bhagavad Gita today, by absorbing ourselves in Krishna's seva, Krishna tells in the Gita, by constant practice and detachment, we can overcome the burden of all these bad habits in our mind. Krishna is not different than his name. When we really take shelter of Krishna and cry out his name, then Krishna, he will kick to pieces and liberate us from the big cartload of burden of bad habits that we leave stored in our minds. When Krishna was about a year old, Yashoda Mai was carrying Krishna, and suddenly he felt heavy on the mountain. So she put him down to go around to carry on with her, say, two others. And at that time, another one of the associates of Kamsa, Trinavarta, came in the middle of the but this was not just an ordinary problem. It was a mystic, powerful asura rakshasa, greater than a hurricane, a tornado, a cyclone. He came into Vrindavan. And he was making everything start to fly apart. One couldn't even see their hand in front of their face, there was so much dust. And Gopal was all alone. Trinavarta picked up Gopal and went higher and higher and higher into the sky with the intention of killing him. And Gopal was so happy, he was getting a ride. You know, sometimes little children, when they just wander over, you throw them up in the air, and they I've never done it, I'm afraid I'm going to get trapped there or something. It's really quite fearless. I've seen them take their little babies and drink into things. They're going to catch them. But when I see that, I think, such faith. But when you're thrown up in the sky like that, when you're a little baby and you're totally helpless, you have to have complete faith that your father or mother's going to catch you. Otherwise, it's such a natural skill. Otherwise, if you don't have total faith that your mother's going to catch you, you're going to really be hurt. You don't see little babies when they're thrown in the air, they say, you better catch me. It's that simple faith of a baby for a mother. That's the type of faith we should have in Krishna in every situation. And that's the type of faith we should chant as babies. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama.
Trinavarta was taking Krishna so high in the sky. And Krishna was so happy. It's like he was getting a ride, like a roller coaster. He was going higher and higher. He went up to the heavenly clouds. And Krishna was looking down, and he got a panoramic view of the whole of Vrindavan and the whole earth. Fascinating. And Trinavarta was his antithesis to kill Krishna. Krishna understood this. So somehow or other, it's interesting, isn't it? Do you know why Krishna became so heavy to Yashoda? Our Acharyas explain, he knew Trinavarta was God. And he didn't want Yashoda Mai to get involved in this deal, because she may get hurt. So he became heavy so that Yashoda and Rani would put him down, and Kanushi had to go take care of all the guests so that he would be all alone with Trinavarta. So he became heavy with his mother, and he became light as a feather from Trinavarta to take him higher, 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 higher. And then he became heavy like a mountain. Trinavarta could no longer tolerate. He was about to fall. He was with all of his might trying to rip Krishna away from him and throw him way, 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 way down into the ground. And Krishna, little tiny, soft, lotus-like arm went around Trinavarta's neck and he squeezed. Trinavarta was choking. Gigantic hands was in a form of a whirlwind. He was trying to push little Gopal off, and Gopal was smiling, squeezing his neck until Trinavarta's eyes were popping out. He was suffocating to death, and he fell to the ground, right into a big rock. And his limbs were all dislocated.
Represents the obstacle of pure bhakti in Vrindavan, the obstacle of false pride due to having mundane scholarship. The problem is not the scholarship, the problem is the tendency of being proud. You see, Trinavarta was thinking he was higher, 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 higher than everybody. So that's the tendency of learning. And even in Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Srila Prabhupada's books, our knowledge of the scripture, if it's not making us humble, if it's making us proud, if it's making us think that I'm better than others, If he's making us think I'm very high, others are low, then we've actually missed the whole point of what it's for. True knowledge makes us humble, respectful. Lord Chaitanya said like this. When the deep Vijaya Pandit was coming to Gaudapeetha, he was the greatest scholar in the entire planet Earth. He was undefeated in debate. Goddess Saraswati empowered him in such a way that every time he spoke, she incarnated Goddess tongue. Can you imagine such infallible knowledge he had? At least he thought. And he became so proud. He was going around defeating everybody, making them bow down to him and write their name on his certificate. He came into Navadvip with Anupalapin, Brahmins chanting his glories. Nimai's little students on the back of the Gama told him about that. Nimai, he became very brave. He said, a person who actually has understood knowledge, they are like a tree with very, very full, ripe fruits. Because of the weight of the fruits, those trees bow down to everyone. But a tree without such fruits stands very erect, thinking I'm higher than everyone, and bows to no one. A person who actually has knowledge becomes humble and respectful. Amanuga Manadeva, to offer all respect to others and not expect it from oneself. That is knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya said to his friends that Krishna does not tolerate false pride for very long. Soon he will crush it. Demon of trinality within our hearts. One day, Vasudeva sent Gargamuni, his priest, to come to perform the Vengiri ceremony. Brahmins, you are so kind. In the name of going house to house to beg, you're actually coming to give fallen householders like us an association to the devotees. Nanda Maharaj is the king of the Vrijavasis. He's the father of Krishna. And still, such humility. Ceremony, the samskara for the welfare of Krishna Bhagavan. Gargamuni said, I am the priest of the Yadus. Vasudeva sent me. If you perform the samskara in a public way, then Kamsa is going to hear about it and he's going to very, very much attack. So Nanda Maharaj said, but I want our children to be blessed by you. Let's do it secretly in the cowshed. So they went, and Gargamuni, he said, because this child has united the two dynasties of the Vrijavasis and the Yadavas, the Krishnas, his name will be Shankarsha. And because he will take great happiness in manifesting supernatural, transcendental strength, his name will be Baladeva for Balarama. And this other child in every yuga to establish the transcendental process of liberation for that age. He's come in a white color, a red color, a golden color, and now he has come in a beautiful blackish form. Shamsanyara. And this child, he comes again and again to give relief to his devotees and establish the highest principles of religion. This child will be the greatest source of happiness, life, and love to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But please, take very good care of him, Lord. This child of yours is as good as Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with these words of great ecstasy, Dharma Muni revealed Krishna's true identity. And soon after this, Krishna Balaram began to call. How beautiful is that? Balaram, whose complexion is white like a spring cloud, Krishna, whose complexion is dark like a monsoon cloud, are crawling, 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 and as they crawl, they love to get in trouble. There are many stories. Shrimad Bhagavatam tells one time when they were crawling, there were some little calves sleeping. And Krishna and Balaram, each of them, respectively, grabbed and pulled the tail of a calf. They got scared, the calf was starting to run, and the children were so scared that they held on very tightly, and the calf was running around with little Krishna and Balaram. And suffering bodies were being dragged through the mud and the urine and the cow dung of Vrindavan, and all the gopis were watching and laughing. Sometimes Krishna Balaram would be crawling in the line of their mothers, and they recognized their mothers because their mothers wore ankle bells, so they heard ankle bells. And so crawling, crawling, crawling to get to their mothers, crawling, 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 and finally they got to the source of the sound of the ankle bells, and they looked up, and it was other gopis. So they started to get afraid, and they were crying and running away, and then Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini picked them up. Thank you.
So Vishwa said, then I'll start putting jewels on it. They said, no, don't do that, because it's like they have any effulgence. Anyway, they light up everything. And sometimes we hide the butter so well that they can't find it. And they go into a temple and they pass urine on the floor. And sometimes they will come to our sleeping babies and put water in their ears and cry if they can't find your butter. This is what your children are doing all the time. And when we catch them, when our husband catch them and say, you are a thief, go home and look at him and put his fists on his waist and say, no, you are a thief. So she was walking home and she's going down the road in Gokul. And all of a sudden, she's looking and she's seeing her own child. In her perplexed state, little Gopal, she heard Gopal's voice. And she looked down and there was Gopal in her
next time, I will take the form of your husband. One time, Krishna was in, he was next to this wonderful jewel jeweler in the house of Ananda. And there was some water there. He was eating it. He saw his reflection. And he said to the reflection of himself, he said, don't tell the children what I'm doing. Don't tell my mother that you saw me doing this. If you tell, then I'm going to get you in trouble. I'm going to say it's you who did it. And meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was watching all this as Krishna was chastising his reflection. And then Yashoda mind came, and she saw Krishna covered with butter on his hands, and butter on his feet, and butter on his face. And Krishna said, Mother, I didn't steal it. He stole it. He pointed to his reflection. He stole it. I told him that this is immoral, this is improper, you should not steal butter, but he did it anyway, and he threw it at me. Tens of millions, and that's what Yashoda Mai was thinking. Her love for Krishna is unlimited. Gopa, why have you eaten dirt? Gopa said, I did not eat dirt. She said, everybody's complaining, even Balaram. Balaram's your best friend. He's always protecting you. He steals butter with you and everything. Even he said you stole and you ate dirt. Because we played the game and they lost the game, now they're trying to get me in trouble. If you don't believe me, look in my mouth. And she said, open your mouth, let me look inside. Now the reality was, Gopal did eat dirt. And it's in his mouth. So what you do? So Krishna, in order so she wouldn't see the dirt, he distracted her attention in an incredible way. He opened his mouth. It was just this big. And when she looked inside, she saw the entire universe. Oceans, mountains, planets, demigods, all species of all living entities, forests, trees. The incredible thing is Gopal's mouth didn't grow. But she saw the entire universal soul within his mouth. She looked in his mouth and saw it within his belly. How is this possible? A chanti shot. Krishna is inconceivable potential. Nothing is inside of him, nothing is outside. Everything is in
He's inside and outside of everything.
Conquered by their love.
explains how in the previous lifetimes they were Drona and Dara. And they performed great tapasya or austerities. And when Brahma gave them any benediction, he said, let us be in this birth to be the mother and father of Krishna. So that Krishna will perform such beautiful, ecstatic, loving pastimes that he will enchant the hearts of all. suddenly, in the middle of this intense loving exchange, the milk on the stove, which was that shabaganda, it was the milk from those cow, from that one cow that you showed him lying with milk. It was flowing over due to fire underneath. So you showed him lying, knowing that that milk was from Krishna. It was very, very special, the rarest of all milk. She put Krishna down to run to take this cow off the stove. And while she was away, you should not make anything a priority over giving the young milk. So he took his stone, which was used for grinding spices, and broke the butter pot, spread it immediately in all directions. Then he went into another room. Krishna, to show the intimacy between he and his devotee, Yashodamai, he began to tremble. In the Dhammadharastra, we sing every day during the month of Kartik, Satya Muni explains this beautiful scene. Tears are coming from Krishna's eyes, tears of fear. And they're mixing with the kaja, with the black ointment around, and it's making black streaks that cover his body. And his lips are trembling. And his limbs are shaking. And he's saying to Yashodamai, please, put down the stick. I promise I will
get in so much trouble. And she took a rope, a beautiful little silk rope that's used to tie calves. And because she had so many duties to perform, she didn't want Krishna to get hurt. So she went to tie him to the ground. And she placed the rope around his waist. The rope was exactly 2 fingers too short. So she got more rope and tied it to the original rope around his waist. It's still 2 fingers too short. She tied more rope and more rope and more rope. And however, the rope was growing, 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 growing. And Krishna's waist remained exactly the same. Meters of ropes, and was it still exactly 2 fingers, the width of 2 fingers, too short? Finally, other gopis, they heard about this, and they all came, dozens of gopis, with all the ropes of their house to Yashodhara's house. And they were just supplying Yashodhara one rope after another, the rope was becoming 7 meters long. And she put it around Gopal's waist, which was the same size, and was still the width of 2 fingers too short. Soon you saw why the flowers were coming off of her hair. She was perspiring, her side was becoming loose. And some of the gopis said, "Don't you see, Yashodhara? It's not destiny for Krishna to be tied up to you." It is this benediction that Srila Prabhupada has come to us. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the Prema Dhamma, the treasure of spiritual love, the Purushata Sivamana, the crest jewel of all goals of life.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.